Well, Brother Ken is going to speak on unmerited favor. Brother Ken.
We've learned some wonderful lessons these past 2 days that we're going to take home. Not only that, but we're going to use them also at memorial time. The lessons that were brought to our attention on your theme discourse. Those lessons are very valuable to us. When we're going to partake of the memorial, we can see if we can put that into practice. Not to cause any slander, any evil speaking. Let's be an example, as our Lord is an example to us. One simple question. How did you get here? It was through divine power. Through divine power. Brother Butch left a scripture here, which is very good. I like it. And that is in Peter. Do you ever think how God's grace is unmerited favor to us? We think about it. How unworthy we all are. But here's Apostle Peter. He expressed a desire that God's grace and the peace which comes through the knowledge of his love be multiplied. Multiplied in our hearts and lives, especially of those who have espoused the divine cause. And Butch talked about the greatness of God. God is always, always willing to multiply his blessings to us. Although we lack the capacity to receive it, that's true. But we appreciate his grace in all its full abundance. Let me read to you 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. And Apostle Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." We were told that this is the 49th annual convention that you've had here. And as we're going to go home today or tomorrow, what are we going to take with us? Wonderful lessons of God's grace, the greatness of God. As Butch expressed to us, how small a spectacle that is, but how important it is. And so in order to increase in grace and knowledge, we must do what? And I think you and I have done that here. We empty our hearts and minds of earthly aims and ambitions, didn't we? Yes. We talked about the possibility of selfish desires. Larry brought that to our lesson today. And Peter explains that grace and peace are multiplied unto us. I mean, how is that possible? Just as he says, through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge that you have obtained here and every day that you study. How strongly this Peter emphasizes the importance of knowledge, not worldly knowledge, but a knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. And so it has been revealed to us these past 2 days. The knowledge is revealed to us through this God's great loving plan of salvation, which we heard these last 2 days. And it is found in the Word of God, in this book. The prophet Jeremiah, in the 9th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 23, he wrote that we should glory in the fact that we know God, who delights to exercise loving kindness in the earth. That little speck of Butch showed to us. We were told at this convention that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so our scripture explains that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And his beloved Son is one of these gifts. And we're going to have the privilege of exercising the memorial supper But you ever realize and think what a privilege that is of partaking the memorial supper? No one else in the world has that privilege. And we're going to continue partaking of it, Lord willing, until the new day dawns. All of our God's provisions for life and godliness are motivated by His love. We would not be here. It was by divine power, brethren, that the Logos was born of a woman and thus became flesh for the suffering of death. It was divine power that sustained the Redeemer throughout the 3.5 years of His ministry. We talked about it. And so it enabled Him to end in triumphant in laying down His life. Because of this, life has been provided that it is upon the basis of our acceptance of this precious gift that God gave, and faithfulness in doing His will. In order to accept Jesus as the gift of God's love, we must know something about Him. The last two days, the lessons were given to us, something about Him, about the important place that He occupies in the divine plan of salvation. I think it was yesterday that Brother Joe Migosh brought to our attention the account in Genesis, first three chapters in Genesis, talks about the creation, the fall, and so on. The last three chapters of Revelation, he explained to us what it all means, the restoration of that life that was lost back, that we have the record in Genesis. And so this knowledge reaches us through the Scriptures, these last 2 days. And the Scriptures were provided by not just a PowerPoint, but through the power of God. Or by divine power, as our text states. The Bible speaks of divine power as the Holy Spirit of God. And it was the Holy Spirit that gave us the Word of God. We talked about it before. In Brother Russell's day, there were millions of first volumes went out. How many came into the truth? Millions? No. Why didn't they? They didn't have the Holy Spirit to understand. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. Isn't that true? And so Peter informs us concerning the Old Testament Scriptures that holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is recorded to us by Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1:21. And so these Scriptures foretold the coming of Jesus to be the Messiah. They forecast His birth, talked about His resurrection, talked about His ministry, His suffering, His death. It was told to us these last 2 days of His suffering. And it's all on behalf of you and I and Father Adam. We mentioned this the other day. When John seen Jesus coming out of the water, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Many of you have computers. And if you have a chance someday, log on to the statistics that you have in Washington, D.C., of how many people die each day, how many murders are committed, how many break-ins, how many child abductions. It's staggering. However, brethren, as a natural man, Jesus could not understand the full meaning of what has been written concerning Him. And so there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Him at the time of His baptism, which brought about, figuratively speaking, an opening of the heavens for Him. Then there was a miraculous revelation of the divine truth which had already been recorded by the prophets as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Yes, the prophets talked about the coming restoration. They talked about, as Brother Tim Thomason talked about, joy. Weeping may endure for a night, And there's so much of it today. When we see pictures on television of these young soldiers that have lost their lives, think about what goes through the hearts of these parents. No, it wouldn't go too far. She's going to catch it. You know, it just brings tears to your eyes when you see abduction of children. How you wish that this was kingdom would begin tomorrow morning, don't you? Somehow. Brother Russell wrote such a nice article and it reprints. A morning without clouds. Did you ever hear of it? A morning without clouds. And the first thing he says on there, no more war machines. No more funerals. No more dying. What joy that'll be to the world, as Brother Tim brought out. And so this convention has been an uplift for me, and I'm sure it has been for you. So when we go home, we're going to look at a lot of things. We're going to look at the example the Lord has left us for us to follow. We find that through the prophets, through the teachings, and through the example of the Lord Jesus and the teaching of the apostles, the divine power has furnished us with all the truth we need to guide us in the way of life and godliness. And we had this here for the past 3 days. Writing to Timothy, Apostle Paul said, all scripture divinely inspired is indeed profitable for teaching, for correction, for the discipline was in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly fitted for every good work. We see that through the Old Testament scriptures, the meaning of which was miraculously revealed to him, Jesus was provided with the necessary information to guide him in the doing of Father's will. The divinely inspired scriptures as a whole now furnish the information relative to our association with Jesus and this great plan of salvation. Salvation is a doctrine. We always talked about the ransom, the call to the church, but the two salvations, unmerited favor that you have to understand the two salvations. How many churches are there in the world that understand it? Let me remind you of something. In Brother Russell's day, according to statistics at that time, there were 1,100 major religions in the world. How many are there now? 4,000. There's a group, an association in California. And it's growing in number, and they're trying to put the pressure, so to be, to get rid of all religion in America. That's their goal. To get rid of religion. Sometimes it becomes scary, doesn't it? We had a radio program, Frank and Ernst, still running in one of the states in Georgia. And we were informed there's a group there that does not like our radio program. Therefore, the pressure is on the station to take it off. You can see the kind of age we're living in. But every effort we have to be able to promote the gospel message, do it with our might, because you don't know when it can end. There's certain countries will not allow religion to be broadcast on radio. And we've just informed that China is that country. We cannot broadcast Frank and Ernest into China. We could through shortwave, through underground only. During this present age, God's will for his people is expressed through an invitation which was extended by Jesus when he said, if many men will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Remember the first thing he said when he came out of River Jordan, walked along the shoreline? Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And so this means that following Jesus was following him into death. Jesus was a perfect man, and he began his ministry in the prime of his life. Yet so zealous was he in doing his Father's will that at the end of the 3.5 years, he was physically unable to carry his own cross to the place of crucifixion. So following him into death means more than just simply espousing his cause until we die. It calls for a vigorous sacrifice of time and strength and means until we are offering, our offering is completely consumed. Someone mentioned here at the discourse, we consecrate our all. I think it was Brother George Tabak. Yes, let's think about it. We consecrate our all. All of what? Well, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but no, not that. And we see this so much. We say it, but we don't do it. In Jesus' teachings, we find much information as to what it means to walk in the steps. And that is concerning our attitude towards others, as you see right here, that the brethren have presented. Should our attitude be such that we would slander others? Should we talk evil of others? We have a lot of that. We have all kinds of literature and letters that come into the dorm. Some is slander. Some is evil speaking. Something that some say that we should change a lot of things there. We should say this and this and this. One individual phoned up. He wanted to know, what are we doing about global warming? He thought that we should take a more concern about global warming and write it in the Dawn magazine. We assured him the Lord is going to look after that. The Lord is going to do it in his way, not my way or his way. But he was concerned about global warming. But you know, when you look back, I don't know if some of you remember or not, at one time there was a scare that it's going to be cold, right? We're going to freeze to death. Now it's global warming. I don't know if you asked Joe Chirac if there's any global warming in Winnipeg. He told me the other day it was minus 40 Fahrenheit. Many lessons were brought to us concerning lay not up treasures on earth, where moth and rust do it corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do it corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. This is from Matthew 6:19-20. I think this is another facet of true godliness, one which requires great faith to accept and put into practice. But you know, we need a home to live in, don't we? Well, someone may say, you can live in a tent. Not really. In Florida, probably. Until the tornado comes. But Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the evidence of things unseen. We got to have faith. And it was just brought out by Brother Butch. Faith to believe in the Word of God. What's the definition of faith? To believe what God says He will do. That's the kind of faith Abraham had. He believed that what God said He would do. And so Jesus elaborates this viewpoint somewhat. He says, I bid you to put away anxious thoughts about food and drink and so on. What's in Matthew, the 6th chapter. And there's a lot to read here. But he talks about all this, that we shouldn't be worried about tomorrow. You know, I think about those brethren in Europe. Our lives here, we don't have to worry much about having provisions, do we? Because if we can't earn it, 9 times out of 10 the government will provide. It's the same in Canada. Nobody goes to bed hungry. They're well taken care of. But in Europe, brethren, it's a struggle just to live, is what it is. It's a struggle just to live. There was a young sister who got involved with a young JW, and she got married. She had a baby, and the parents of the boy told him that he should leave her because she's not a Jehovah's Witness. And he left her and a baby, 3-month-old baby. Here in America, at least you have facilities that would look after people like that. There they don't have. Our last visit, when we were in Moldova, we had a meeting in this one class. It was around 9 o'clock in the evening as we were leaving. As we're leaving in this minibus, these young people came to the bus, pleading for mercy. Take us. Take us home with you. We have nothing here. We have no education. We can't go to school. We don't have the money. We don't have work. You'd have to see the expression on their faces. It was so hard to leave. How can we help them? We can't. To help them, we'd have to help the whole world. But you could see the difficulties these brethren have. We're fortunate we live in a country like America. Yes, what joy there will be. Although weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning. We are told by our Lord to set your mind on God's kingdom, Jesus said, or seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so we rejoice and we look forward to the time when the blessings of human health and life will be flowing out to the world of mankind. And it'll be through those agencies that Butch talked about, that God is choosing. The angels are looking after them. But you and I rejoice even more when we can share in the rulership of that kingdom which God has promised to us. And he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you ever think about that? That's an honor. It's an honor. We were told something about the vision of John. But here was John in the Isle of Patmos. The vision he saw, those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. John saw them come up in the first resurrection to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. What a wonderful vision. What a wonderful hope there is for the world of mankind. Your health surgeon general of the United States was on television. He talked about AIDS in the world. And he brought out the report, 6,000 people die each day in Africa. 6,000 per day. They can't keep up making wooden coffins for them. Young children are digging graves for their parents. You know, Paul was so right when he wrote in Romans, the whole world groans and travails in pain, waiting for whom? For you, to make your calling election sure. What a joy that will be, that you and I will have the opportunity to uplift this human family back to perfection. We talked about it this morning. What is the kingdom for? It's going to be an educational program. It's a training process for 1,000 years, an educational program. Why? To prepare the human race for ages to come. That's the purpose of it. In Peter's prophecy concerning the end of the age and the time of our Lord's second presence, speaking of the various aspects of the present evil world, Peter said these words, and you're all familiar with them. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, And he says, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter 3:11. The Greek word here translated conversation means to for us, our daily conduct, how we're to conduct ourselves, how we're to use and make use of our tongues, what we say and speak. And so what manner of person should we be? What is this holy conduct and holy and godliness? Well, Peter has given us at least a partial answer to the question in the opening chapter of his epistle, in verse 4. After telling us in our text that divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, he continues, whereby, that is, by divine power, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you and I might become partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Someone brought that out, the corruption in the world, these last 2 days. Someone read to us Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Not only do we wrestle with flesh and blood, right? But all the principalities and powers of the air. You know, when you see some of these things happening, you wonder who's behind it. Where's the power source? What kind of power source is that? And Satan is still the god of this world. The inspirational power of our promises of God concerning our glorious hope of our exaltation with Christ to live and reign in him, it has much to do with preparing us for divine nature. Yes, we have faith in these promises. If we didn't have faith in these promises, you and I wouldn't be here at this convention. And it's through divine power that God made it possible for us to be here. And the last few days, we've been reading the manna text, and how nice that manna text is. We have faith in these promises that we are admonished to add to faith diligently, and so to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and so on self-control, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness love. Now this is something that's going to come up in your memorial study. Think about it. How much love do we have for one another? Brother George Daybeck talked about guilt. And that's a wonderful lesson. So when we go home from here, from this convention, we have wonderful lessons to take home and apply them to our daily lives. What a comprehensive summary this is of life of godliness. How diligent we should be seeking to attain these various virtues, which is reality are the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit, was brought to our attention the first day. And so Peter explains further. He says, if these things were in you and abounded, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need the knowledge of Christ and of his heavenly Father. But this knowledge is of little value to us unless, through our own diligence in its use, it bears the fruits of godliness. Excuse me. God does not force us in any way, but his power has made every provision for the great salvation which he has offered to us, and guarantees all the necessary help that you and I need. What's holding back? We must cooperate by doing our part in diligently bringing our every thought into captivity to his will as is expressed through his word. You and I are sure that if we do this, we will make our calling and election sure, and that an abundant entrance will be ministered unto us through the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What do you think our final test will be? Our heart attitude one to another. not how much we know scriptures, nor how much we can quote pages from different books. No, no, our heart attitude one to another. Paul knew, as stated by Peter in our text, that all things pertaining to life and godliness are given to us by divine power. Let's not forget that. Pacheco brought to us the attention, the greatness of God, the power of God. And so we find that the apostle expressed his willingness that these blessings of his heavenly Father to his beloved Son should cost him all earthly things, including life itself. He knew by experience what would be meant to deny self and to take up his cross and follow his master. And the apostles did that. Even while they were in prison, not knowing what tomorrow might bring, but he was still happy that he had made the sacrifice. Paul was interested only in one thing, to finish his course through the complete consummation of that sacrifice. That was his interest. Speaking of some of the things which he once held as valuable, Paul says, he was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, is the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, and he was persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But as Paul explains, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus in my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count to them but useless. But I win Christ. He wanted to be found in him, not having his own mind, his own righteousness, which is in the law, he says, but through that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How highly did Paul esteem the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus? He knew that the knowledge had reached him by divine power. Paul knew that through the word of truth. And he knew that to continue growing in grace and knowledge, it was essential for him to keep his sacrifice on the altar. That's a lesson for you and me. At the beginning of his walk in the narrow way, Paul, the Lord had made clear to Paul that his course was to be one of suffering. You know, brethren, we all suffer for righteousness' sake, don't we? We do. If you talk to your neighbor about the resurrection, he turns his back on you. You feel bad, don't you? But the witness is there. The witness is there. Someday, you'll remember Florence that said something to this lady. Yeah, I remember that lady that lived across the street. She hardly ever stayed home. But here, now in prison at Rome, he was perhaps, Paul would reflect on some of the experiences which he had. He had the privilege of proving his worthiness of God's grace through Christ Jesus. But this did not in any way hinder him in the least of facing the future in which he knew that sacrifice and suffering would continue. Someone brought out here also the experience he had in the shipwreck and so on. Butch told us about his experience of coming here to America. We were doing some witness work and we went over to Newfoundland. And that also was on one of those big ferries that carries about 120 cars. We hit a storm, 120 mile an hour winds. You could have bought me for 5 cents. You know, you looked at the porthole and this ferry goes up into the air and down into the water. Wow. You know, they have the chairs are tied down with cables to the floor, the tables as well. What an experience. So I feel for you, Butch. Yes, Paul was still waiting to have the knowledge of God and Christ. It cost him everything of earthly advantage. But Paul says that I may know him, that I might know the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship or partnership of his sufferings being made conformable unto death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Philippians 3:10 and 11. Paul knew the mighty power of God, which has raised Jesus from the dead and had been with the Master throughout the entire course of his earthly ministry, to sustain him as a new creature in every time of need. And Paul wanted to experience the benefits of the power through his own faithfulness as a partner in suffering sacrificial death of Christ. Just as the Heavenly Father, through his promises, has set a great joy before the Master, which enabled him to endure the cross and to despise its shame, so Paul was encouraged and sustained by the hope of sharing in the first resurrection, of being with Jesus in the heavenly face of his kingdom. And Paul continued. And Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have been apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those earthly things which are behind." And Paul says, "I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When we go home from this convention, we're going to take all these lessons that we have heard and apply them to our daily lives, that we too can reach that mark. Paul was determined faithfully to press on in the same rugged and narrow way. He was reaching forth unto those things which were before, but he wanted to continue pressing towards that mark. And he was urging us to do the same, knowing that in so doing there would be further sacrifices, additional hardships. That's so true. But Paul knew also, even as Peter states in our text, that divine power would continue to provide all the necessary help in order that he might eventually overcome. Philippians 3:12. And so, brethren, may this also be our earnest desire and determination, that through divine grace and through his divine power, that you and I may attain unto life and godliness, and to share with Jesus and all his faithful followers in a future work of blessing all the families of the earth. And you're going to fulfill that promise which was made to Father Abraham. Indeed, thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And you are part of that seed. Brethren, my prayer on your behalf is that in some way, somehow, that we could be at that marriage supper. May God's Holy Spirit guide you each day of your lives. God be with you till we meet again.